Our fourth reading this morning is Peter from Acts chapter 10, why a missionary talks to all people. Once again, there are some darkened verses that we'd like you to read. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa.
The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And the voice spoke to him again the second time, What God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again.
Peter now is speaking to Cornelius. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Peter was a true Jew. He kept the laws. He kept the ceremonial regulations of the Old Testament the way they were meant to be kept, even if it got in the way of preaching the gospel. No doubt he had seen Jesus not act like the other chief priests and the other scribes and the other Jewish people. He didn't stay away from those so-called sinners, the repentant prostitutes, tax collectors, Samaritans. Jesus reached out to all. It took some time for Peter to get it from his head into his heart. In fact, we're told here, three times got to have that sheet come down and say, Peter, rise, kill and eat. No. Peter, rise, kill and eat. No. Peter, rise, kill and eat. Three times the Lord had to tell them that. The vision of the animals finally taught Peter a very valuable lesson. Whatever God has created, don't call impure or unclean. All animals were available for him to eat, which meant that also there is no person so unclean or so impure that he's beyond the gospel. Or we should probably say that all of us are so spiritually unclean and spiritually rotten, that we all need the gospel of Jesus Christ, that his shed blood, to wash us and cleanse us from all of our sins. But oh, how easily the sin of prejudice can arise even in our hearts. We think and we act as if we're better than others, as if we're the norm. Everybody else is different. Different skin color, different nationality, different lifestyle, different economic level, different age, different social status. These prejudices come from sin, from pride and selfishness, conceit. But Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and to the knowledge of his name, so that everyone hears about Jesus because he died for all people. May our souls and our efforts in preaching the gospel, the evangelism, be colorblind and not status conscious. We've been called to proclaim that gospel message to all people. Our fifth and last reading is Lydia, Acts chapter 16. What does a missionary do? And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Lydia, she's the only true lay member of these five missionaries that we've been speaking about this morning. We're not told that she went and told anyone or spoke to anyone about the gospel message of salvation, although she did bring her family and her household to hear the words of the Apostle Paul, and they all were baptized. No doubt she would use the word that she learned to speak to her friends, to those who came to her shop to buy purple cloth, and those in the city. But in our text, we're told that her love for her Savior and her heart being filled with that love for her Savior moved her to do mission work by her deeds, her actions, not so much by her words. She saw the needs of Paul and Luke and Silas and Timothy. They had come to Philippi. They went down to the riverbank. They spoke the word of God to the people that were there. They praised the Lord, and that was fine. But they had no permanent place. No place to stay. No place to worship the Lord. And so she begged, literally constrained, compelled Paul and his companions to stay at her house and use it as they saw fit. Here was Christian love, Christian gratitude, Christian generosity at work. Fruits of faith, motivated by the gospel. We also can assume that Lydia, being a businesswoman, would speak to her co-workers, or those who again came to buy her purple cloth, and told them about Jesus. The Lord was preparing her for his work, preparing her by having her hear the gospel, preparing her by having the gospel work faith in her heart, preparing her for having her baptized, and preparing her to give of her gifts to the Lord. She didn't wait till she was told there was a need. She jumped in to meet the need. She didn't wait for Paul to say, "Boy, I wish we had some place to live." She came and said, "Do you want to stay at my house?" And she asked them, she begged them to come stay. And the Lord opened Lydia's heart. She opened her heart to himself and to those who came to speak in his name. Hasn't the Lord done the same with all of you? The Lord has touched your heart, some of you when you're little babies, through baptism, infant baptism, others as you grow older, led you to know that you were a sinner, lost and condemned, headed for hell, but Jesus came to save you by his perfect life, his death, his resurrection. Millions and millions and millions of thank yous aren't even enough. And the Lord has led you to respond to the gospel message by giving of the gifts that the Lord has filled you with. The gifts of your talents, the gifts of your treasures, the gifts of your time, to open your heart to the Lord and to those who speak the name of the Lord. Myself as pastor, as abbess, and those missionaries and pastors throughout our synod. The following words were spoken by a missionary who was going back to India after a furlough here in the United States. He said, "I do not mind the burning sun of the country, nor the separation from my loved ones here in America, for I know they want me to go. Nor do I mind the isolation, nor the hardships. I can face all of them with courage in Jesus. But what takes the life out of me, and what goes with me like a chain about my feet into the scattered villages that have never heard of or seen the name of Christ, is the indifference of many Christians in my own homeland. It is sometimes hard for me to shake this chain off. I know some are praying, some are giving, some are going. I thank God for them, but how few they are. How few they are." Are we praying? Are we giving? Are we going? Are we the few? If not, may we be moved by the Lord to become part of the few, so that maybe we can become then part of the many. Jesus is the light of the world. And if Jesus shines in a heart, it'll reflect, so it will shine that light also to others. Jesus says, "Don't take your light and put it under a bushel basket. Let your light shine for all to see, so that it may glorify your Father who is in heaven." One of the favorite songs that our children sing at PBS is, "This little light of mine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." But it doesn't mean just to wag your finger. It means to speak the words and live the words in our daily life. Someone has said that the light that shines the farthest is the one that shines the brightest at its base. So, may we be moved to spend of ourselves in the days, the weeks, months, years, and the lifetime that the Lord gives us here on this earth, spend of ourselves as missionaries of Christ, giving our time, talents, and treasures without fear, without apprehension, without shame, selflessly, in bringing the gospel message to others. Remember, there's not enough darkness in this whole world to be able to put out the light of one single candle. You are the light of the world. Amen.